I'm into something here that I cannot understand.
We are in the middle of a war, one that's been going on forever. With tech, the secret so powerful that if revealed, it would devastate the very foundations of mankind.
What are you talking about?
You asked what would be worth killing for. Witness the biggest cover-up in human history.
Well, that's just a little taste of the trailer of the Da Vinci Code film. Maybe you saw that this weekend. It did open, and after 40 million books sold, I imagine that the movie, at least the promise of the movie, is as much excitement, and Dan Brown has said recently, it is the novel transferred to the film as well as any novel could be transferred to film. Well, what else would we be talking about but the Da Vinci Code and the Da Vinci Code film tonight on Issues, etc.? Is it history? He claims that he discovered a suppressed history and that he's bringing it to us in novel form. Does Dan Brown believe it? I don't know, but a lot of people do. So we'll talk about the historical claims of the Da Vinci Code, both the book and the film, tonight on Issues, etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'd love to hear from you tonight on the Da Vinci Code, both the book and the movie. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. We're coming to you live this Sunday night, May the 21st. Let's hear from you, 1-800-730-2727, or feel free to use our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We'll take your questions and comments via the email, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, the listeners with the best questions or comments tonight will receive the book, The Da Vinci Code, Fact and Fiction, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Our guest this evening for the first hour, Dr. Paul Meyer. He's a regular guest on Issues, Etc., professor of ancient history at Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo, and co-author of the book, The Da Vinci Code, Fact and Fiction. Dr. Meyer, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Good to be with you again, Todd.
Well, give us your brief review of the Da Vinci Code movie. You saw it.
Saw it yesterday. Yes, I did. Frankly, it's getting panned, as you well know. And the problem is that the screenwriter tried to condense the entire film the entire book into the film, and that just doesn't quite work. And to make any sense of the film, you really would have to read the book first, and that bothers me a little bit because the book is full of lies.
Okay, let's hear from Dan Brown himself. And this is him opining on the historical reliability of the Da Vinci Code.
The only thing fictional in the Da Vinci Code is the characters and the action that takes place. All of the locations, the paintings, the ancient history, the secret documents, the rituals, all of this is factual.
Dr. Meyer, your reaction to that, in particular his claim about the ancient history.
Well, it's simply a deadly lie. The thing is absolutely full of lies halfway through when this character, Lee Teabing, shows up. He's an English expatriate living outside of Paris. And what he does then is to simply open his mouth and indoctrinate Sophie, the heroine, with about 6 lies per page, which absolutely violate everything we know from ancient history. I just can't imagine that Dan Brown would open his mouth and issue lies like that that are contrary to everything any historian would teach you about the ancient world.
What is the biggest factual fallacy in the Da Vinci Code?
Well, there are 2 of them. One is that Jesus married Mary Magdalene, and they had a child named Sarah. And the other is that Jesus was regarded only as a mortal human being the first 4 centuries of church history, and it was Constantine and the Council of Nicaea that turned him into a god. Those are the 2 most bald-faced lies in the entire book.
You have called, in your book, Da Vinci Code, Fact or Fiction, you have called the book, and I guess by extension the film, a blend of fact and fiction. What do you mean?
Well, I'm not sure it's even a reliable blend, because you can't tell where the facts quit and where the fiction begins. You see, Dan Brown's style is simply to take a well-known truth and then park it right next to a great big lie. And so what you do is take the poison of falsehood and wrap it inside a pill which is coated on the outside with 20% truth. For example, Constantine was a lifelong pagan. Constantine, of course, is the first Christian emperor. Constantine was a lifelong pagan, baptized, only on his deathbed, too weak to protest. Now, it is true that Constantine was not baptized until his deathbed, But that's because they had the rather strange idea in those days that since baptism wiped all your slate clean of any sins, what you want to do is get all your sinning done ahead of time. And if you can absolutely time it correctly, well, then you can go to heaven with a clean passport. It was a silly idea. The church quickly dropped that. And so that bit of truth then is matched next to fiction like Constantine was a lifelong pagan. I guess, Todd, I just can't stand people like Dan Brown and his publisher allowing deadly lies in the form of truth to persist. I can't understand that. The book lies from the start. It claims that the Priory of Sion was a crusading order founded in 1099 in the city of Jerusalem to hide the fact that Jesus married Mary Magdalene. They had a daughter named Sarah, and she migrated to France and intermarried with the French royal dynasty. And there are people around there today with Jesus' genes and chromosomes. This is, of course, totally wrong. The Priory of Sion was not founded in 1099 in Jerusalem. It was founded in 1956 in Paris. And it was, again, a case of an anti-Semitic forger named Pierre Plantard who planted the secret documents in the Bibliothèque Nationale. And he was discovered by the French court. And he and his henchmen pled guilty that the entire thing is a hoax. Now, to this day, the new paperback editions of the Da Vinci Code don't make a correction at all. They simply say that this was founded in 1099. What is happening to the cause of truth? How can you baldly lie like this, and how can publishers permit this sort of thing to go out and provide misinformation, disinformation to the general public? I'm alarmed at what's happening to truth in our society.
Before we go to the break here, for those who have not read the book or for those who have not seen the film, briefly summarize the premise of the Da Vinci Code for those folks.
Okay, you have Robert Langdon, who is a professor of symbology from Harvard University. I've never heard of a professor of symbology anywhere on earth, by the way. Anyway, he's in Paris, and he's called because his friend Jacques Sounier wants to ask him about something secret. And before he can even get to the Louvre, where Jacques is the curator, the French police advise him that he's dead. He was murdered. And he's spread-eagled on the ground like the Vitruvian man is, you recall, in Leonardo's picture. And so then Sophie, who is the granddaughter of Saunier, and I want to say Tom Hanks, and Robert Langdon are, of course, immediately suspected by the police for murdering her grandfather. And so then begins a merry chase throughout Paris until they finally arrive at the home of an English expatriate living outside of Paris. His name is Lee Teabing. And it's at that point when Teabing opens his mouth and he drops about six lies per page from that point on. And it's a chase between Tale of Two Cities without benefit of Dickens. They have to fly to London and they go to Scotland to find clues at Rosslyn Chapel way up in Scotland. They finally end up back at the Louvre, and it has a very unsatisfactory ending. One Hollywood critic said that in the film there were four endings. Too bad that Ron Howard didn't choose one of them.
But very quickly, we've only got about 30 seconds here. Are you more frustrated by the Da Vinci Code as a Christian or as an historian, Dr.
Oh, Mike? That's an easy question to answer. I am far more concerned about the Da Vinci Code as a historian, not as a Christian. As a Christian, what's new here? Todd, as you well know, the Christian church has been attacked for 2,000 years. So it's nothing new here. The church is going to survive, no problem. But what I can't stand is, as a professor of ancient history, to have facts that are known worldwide, cased in concrete, agreed upon by scholars all over the world, lied about. I can't stand that. If my students tried something like that, I'd have to flunk them. And here, Dan Brown collects $70 million or so in royalties for lying. I think it's a terrible thing. What an indictment of society. What an indictment of the publishing industry today.
Dr. Paul Meyer is our guest. We're talking about The Da Vinci Code, the book and the film, here on the weekend of its release. Dr. Meyer is professor of ancient history at Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo. He is co-author of the book, Da Vinci Code, Fact or Fiction. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. We are coming to you live this Sunday night. It's the 21st of May, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. 1-800-730-2727. We want to hear from you on The Da Vinci Code tonight on Issues Etc. The reformer Martin Luther and his theology have been understood and misunderstood for almost 500 years. Was Luther's theology merely warmed over Roman Catholicism? Was Luther a Protestant? How important were the ideas of sin, grace, and the justification of the sinner to Luther's thought, theology, and Reformation? Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is called A Theology to Live By, The Practical Luther for the Practicing Christian. The book is $14.99 plus shipping and handling. To find out more, go to our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, A Theology to Live By, right there at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, and ask for A Theology to Live By.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you to pay the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You can donate by credit card, 1-800-737-0172. Or you can donate by check, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc.
I'm aware that there are those out there who disagree with my brashness in painting a picture, even in a novel, of a history that may not be exactly as we thought it was. Some of these people have published definitive lists of what they see as my shortcomings, my errors, and my inadequacies.
There's Dan Brown again in New Hampshire speaking about his book and about his critics. We're talking about The Da Vinci Code tonight on Issues Etc. Dr. Paul Meyer is our guest. Issues Etc. is underwritten in part by Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, where they'll be hosting a two-week residential program for high school-aged men this summer. It's called Christ Academy. Now, Christ Academy allows young men of high school age the opportunity for those 2 weeks to explore the possibility of becoming a pastor right there on their campus. Now, Christ Academy takes place this summer, June the 18th through July the 1st, right there on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or to find out more, look for the Christ Academy logo at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Dr. Meyer, why do you think the Da Vinci Code is so popular?
Well, I think it's a case of the Roman Catholic Church being very vulnerable about this time because of the pedophilia scandals and because of the lavender clergy problem. That's one out of every two Christians on earth. So since the church is vulnerable, let's go attack it. And even though all of Christianity comes under Dan Brown's crosshairs, it's particularly the Roman Catholic Church, which is constantly accused of cover-up, hiding the fact that bishops were reassigning predator clergy to other dioceses, and the reading public figures, okay, if they haven't come clean on this, what else are they hiding? So there's a certain climate of acceptability for something like this to show up. That's one problem. That's one advantage that Dan Brown has. It's also a perfect storm of opportunities in terms of perfect promotion at the time when the bookstores are full of the book, and it has then a life of its own. But the main ingredient is controversy. All you do is create controversy, then your project is assured of success. Now, we had a paradigm of that with Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ. You recall that 18 months in advance of the film showing on the big screen, he had the best publicity that anyone, well, I couldn't even buy it, and that was controversy. Everybody taking a pot shot at the script before they had seen it or read it. And so the word of mouth gets started, and people have to see how bad it is or how good it is, and they couldn't possibly have had more influence in stomping down the theater doors. If there had been no response to the Compassion of the Christ, well, then I think the film probably would barely have gotten its original investment back, because there have been better Lives of Christ. But because of the controversy, immediately, Mel Gibson had it made. And he's gotten, I think by now, 7 or 8 times his original investment back. So controversy is the mother of all sales. And so what Dan Brown has done is to attack the most successful single phenomenon on the face of the earth. That would be the Holy Christian Church, because there's no other belief system, way of life, philosophy, religion, teaching, nation, you name it, which commands the loyalties of over 2 billion people in the present generation alone. So you want mega sales, you create mega controversy by attacking the most successful phenomenon on earth and get everybody thinking and suspicious about it. And then, of course, the project has a life of its own. That's the reason it's such a success. It's not because of the literary quality of the book, which is, frankly, not that high.
Okay, Dr. Meyer, here again is Dan Brown. This is how he says he reconciled, in researching the Da Vinci Code, reconciled the suppressed history, as he refers to it, with what he had learned as a child in school and in church.
Researching a novel about lost history was difficult on many levels, but primarily because I found so much of the information very hard to accept. Quite simply because the history I was learning did not mesh with what I had been taught, both in school and in church. So troubled by these differences, I asked a historian friend how to balance contrary accounts of the same event. First, when we read and interpret history, we are not interpreting the historical events themselves. We are interpreting written accounts of those events. In essence, we are interpreting other people's interpretations. And second, since the beginning of recorded time, history has always been written by the winners, those societies and belief systems that conquered and survived.
Dr. Meyer, what do you make of his take on history in general?
Well, I think it's pretty fascinating. It's simply a case of Dan Brown lying about his lies. It is that simple. There's no question about it. He should have stayed with the original way that he's been taught, because that happens to be sober history. What he's done instead is simply, as a Latter-day Gnostic, he simply warped whatever he wants in the life of Jesus to make it appear sensational and new. He's wrong about every premise that he mentions. History is always written by the winners. No, it isn't. One of the best histories in the ancient world was the history of the Peloponnesian War by Thucydides. He was a loser. Athens lost the war to Sparta. So history's not always written by the winners, and so on. You can go through every claim he makes, and you find that he errs in terms of any corroboration from any historian in the world. And I think this is something that's very, very important, that he's out there on a limb by himself. I don't know of any reputable historian anywhere in the world which endorses what Dan Brown has done with his treatment of history.
Our call-in number is 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. We're giving away Dr. Paul Meyer's and Hank Hanegraaff's book called The Da Vinci Code, Fact or Fiction. Let's talk with Janet, who's listening in Hancock, Michigan. She's listening out of Chicago on WYLL. Hi, Janet.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
Dr. Meyer, first of all, thanks for your commitment to debunking Mr. Brown's fictions. I have to say that when I read his book about halfway to 40 million copies sold, I thought it was just a yarn, a tale, and I took it that way. And it was interesting and kind of a read, but it was frustrating. And I want to thank you guys for actually giving us Dan's audio, his actual words.
Happy to do it, Janet. Happy to do it.
I had no idea that he was so misguided. I really thought I been kind of out of touch. I don't have TV right now, and I wasn't aware that he thought that this fiction was history.
Well, Janet, not that many people know ancient history, see? And the result is that when they read something in print, they think it's true. After all, don't they have editors at Doubleday? Don't they have fact checkers? They used to. But again, the publisher's morals have gone right down the tube. That they no longer care about the truth, evidently. And I'm getting angrier at Doubleday and Company rather than Dan Brown himself. I'm angrier at Harper San Francisco, which just brought out a terrible book by Michael Bajant called The Jesus Papers, exposing the greatest cover-up in history. They always love that phrase. And it's total garbage. It's just a shame that people prefer the lie to the truth. And some people find it very innocent, again, this rollicking prose. And it's a page-turner, I'll agree. And for the first part of the book, Dan had me, you know, in the palm of his hand, because I was running through Paris with him on the chase. I was having a good old time until I found this English expatriate dropping 6 to 8 lies per page after that.
Let's talk about that on the other side of the break. Dr. Paul Myers, our guest, we're talking about the Da Vinci Code. We do have several resources on the Da Vinci Code posted at our website, issuesetc.org. And under the What's New section, you'll find these resources, issuesetc.org. We're talking about the Da Vinci Code tonight on Issues, Etc. Give us a call during this break. 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or email us right here in the studio during our conversation at issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Pastor Scott Clems of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, talking about the goals for the young men who attend Christ Academy 2006.
Christ Academy allows high school men to become a full, equal partner in the life of the seminary for 2 weeks every June. They attend chapel 4 times a day with the student body and faculty and staff. They go to classes for 3 or 4 hours a day, regular classes taught by the seminary faculty and staff. They become tight as a community and join together in prayer and greater understanding of Lutheran theology.
For more information about Christ Academy 2006 on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Theological Seminary, 1-800-481-2155. That's issuesetc.org or 1-800-481-2155.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Did you know that Easter isn't just a Sunday? It's a season of 50 days leading up to Pentecost. And I have a favor to ask. Would you please prayerfully consider making a special Easter gift to help support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc.? For a gift of any size to Issues, Etc., during the great 50 days of Easter, we're going to send you a CD of our interview with Dr. Arthur Just on the Easter hymn, Joy to the Heart. For a donation of $50 to Issues, Etc., from now until the end of May, we'll send you a CD with several Easter hymns. And for a gift to Issues, Etc., of $100 or more during the Easter season, we'll send you an autographed copy of Dr. Paul Meyer's book, In the Fullness of Time. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, by calling our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, or by check, Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117.
If
you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues Etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration.
What impact do teachings like creation, the fall into sin, the cross of Christ, law and gospel, simultaneously saint and sinner, the Word of God, baptism, and the Lord's Supper have on everyday life? Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is titled A Theology to Live By, The Practical Luther for the Practicing Christian. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about A Theology to Live By on our website, issuesetc.org. The cost is $14.99 plus shipping and handling. Luther's theology is not abstract speculation, but teaching with a practical application for the real Christian life. A Theology to Live By, Practical Luther for the Practicing Christian, by Herman Preuss. Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org.
Controversial ideas in this novel have been around for hundreds of years. They are not mine. When you see the movie, you will see some fascinating characters debating powerful topics. You don't have to agree with their conclusions. These characters don't even agree with each other. You don't have to believe a single word of this story to enjoy it, to engage in the debate, to remain open-minded to perspectives that make us think. Perspectives that challenge us to ponder and articulate why we believe what we believe.
That's Dan Brown again, author of The Da Vinci Code, that now a big movie released this weekend. We're talking about The Da Vinci Code with Dr. Paul Meyer tonight on Issues Etc. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for May is called The Theology to Live By, and most people would consider the theology of the Reformation, the Lutheran Reformation, with theological giants like Dr. Martin Luther, the things that he wrote, these vast works and the Lutheran confessions, to be over the average Christian's head. The theology is not designed to be an ivory tower pursuit or something people discuss in the parlor over in polite conversation. No, this is a theology to live by, Reformation theology. You can find out more about the book. It's subtitled The Practical Luther for the Practicing Christian. You can find out more at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or you can order A Theology to Live By calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The book is $14.99 plus shipping and handling. It is a must-read for anyone interested in Reformation theology. The book is called A Theology to Live By, 1-800-325-3040. It's our Issues Etc. book of the month for May, 1-800-325-3040. Dr. Paul Meyer is our guest, professor of ancient history at Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo, and co-author of the book, The Da Vinci Code, Fact or Fiction. Let's go back to the phones. We'll talk now with John in Shreveport, Louisiana. John, thanks for waiting, and welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you. I have a question in regards to the subject y'all were discussing before the first commercial. In regards to, isn't he supporting the ancient, not only Gnostic heresy, but also the heresies of Arius and Nestorius as well?
Two good questions.
Pretty close, I'd say, John. That's a very perspicacious comment. Indeed, Arius,
did, however, acknowledge Jesus' deity, whereas Dan Brown goes even beyond that and says Jesus was simply a mortal man, turned into a god at the Council of Nicaea in the 4th century. Of course, nothing could be further from the truth. You notice every time we have a clip of Dan Brown, it's never a debate. It's always Dan Brown giving an address somewhere because he doesn't dare debate any significant scholar at all because he'd be wiped out inside of 5 minutes for the way he's lied about history.
Bonnie calls from Bloomington, Minnesota. She listens on KKMS. Hi, Bonnie. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi. I just wanted to say I started reading the Da Vinci Code book and was unable to go too deeply into it for a lot of reasons. So I haven't really read the whole book. But I'm glad that a rebuttal was written to it, and I think it's a really wonderful opportunity for us to engage other people in conversation.
Thank you very much,
Bonnie.
Well,
it's a good point, Bonnie. I'm glad you brought that out, because it's so easy to get so decidedly negative on this that we lose the opportunity to communicate the Christian faith. And actually, paradoxically, the Da Vinci Code may turn out to be a blessing for the church. Let me explain that. Christian witness is kind of difficult. Very often it's quite a problem to bring Jesus Christ into a secular conversation. You don't lean over the garden fence in the backyard and say, "Have you found Christ as your Lord and Savior yet?" You know, over the hum of the power mowers. I just don't think that works. It's like dragging Jesus in by the hair. And so many Christians have a problem with getting started in the dialogue. Well, folks, we no longer have that problem, inasmuch as the man on the street, the woman on the street, everybody's talking about Jesus, the Bible, the Christian church, history, and so it's a wonderful opportunity to engage people right in the area of their present interest. So it really makes the idea of what we call Christian witness a lot easier.
Calling from Pittsburgh, here's Don. Don, welcome to Issues, Etc. Hey, Don.
I appreciate your work. I have not read your book on the subject. I have read Jones and Garlow's book, and I think that Peter Jones makes a real good point that this guy has an agenda. I mean, it's obvious reading the book. I mean, it's paganism and Gnosticism. It drips from every page.
It really does.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of his statements is, "Everything our fathers taught us about Christ is false. The greatest story ever told is the greatest story ever sold." You know, and wonderful objective phrases like that.
All right. Now, you talked at the very beginning of our conversation about the two big lies that kind of form the basic structure of the Da Vinci Code, one of them being that Jesus and Mary Magdalene wed, had children, and that the descendants are with us to this day. This fact leads to this claim leads to the second big lie you mentioned, and that is that the church really undertook an organized and, in some cases, violent suppression of this quote-unquote truth with the Council of Nicaea. Set the record straight on both of those points. What was the real relationship that we know of between Jesus and Mary Magdalene? And what really happened in 325 at the Council of Nicaea?
Well, Mary Magdalene was simply a devoted follower of Jesus. She was one of the early witnesses of the resurrection, perhaps the earliest. And many have called her the apostle to the apostles. She's the one who told them about the risen Christ, you recall. So she has a wonderfully high place in Christianity. It's wrong for Dan Brown to say that the church was against women from the start and so forth. It's totally wrong. There's no agency on earth which has done more to emancipate women than, in fact, the Old and New Testament. In terms of these Gnostic Gospels that Dan Brown loves to tout all the time, frankly, at least half of the Gnostic Gospels would be horrified to learn that Jesus was married at all, because many of them are ascetic. Or the Gospel of Thomas. Here's the most famous Gnostic Gospel of all, and you can see how wonderfully pro-feminine it is. Disciples bring Mary Magdalene to Jesus, and they say, "Lord, we have a problem. Mary Magdalene is a woman, and of course women cannot inherit the kingdom of God." How do you like that for a premise? Jesus says, "Don't worry, I'll turn her into a man, and then she can make it." This is pro-feminine? Come on. Yeah, what's going on here? And so at the Council of Nicaea, the decision was, is Jesus co-eternal with the Father or not? Arius said, no, he was not There was a time when he was not, that he was generated from the Father within time. A council in Nicaea decided that Arius was wrong and that Jesus was, in fact, co-eternal with the Father. It did not deal with the matters canonical. It did not decide which Gospels or whatever should be included in the canon. It did not decide whether or not Jesus was a God. As a matter of fact, it wasn't by a close vote that they decided that Jesus was a deity. I guess that's the silliest lie of all. Because the final signatories at the Council of Nicaea, they had 317 positive signatures affirming the Nicene Creed, and only two against it. Now, that isn't exactly a cliffhanger.
Are any of the facts that you just mentioned there regarding the Council of Nicaea in dispute? I mean, is there some sort of minority report out of the Council of Nicaea or something like this to which someone like Dan Brown could appeal? All those facts there, you mentioned before, set in concrete. What did you mean by that?
Well, there's no evidence whatever that there was any close vote there. I mean, this is just patent. Everybody knows it who studied this particular era. And to call a vote 314 or 317 to 2 a cliffhanger is ridiculous. Just ridiculous. And this is the kind of bald, open lies that we find again and again throughout the book.
You're listening to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, our guest tonight, talking about the Da Vinci Code, Dr. Paul Meyer. And you can join us. That film, of course, debuted this weekend. I'd love to hear from someone who's seen the movie. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727, or send us your email at issuesetc@kfuo.org. Calling from the Twin Cities, listening on KKMS. Cheryl, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, thank you. Dr. Meyer, do you think that the Da Vinci Code became so popular because people are wanting to grab onto anything non-Christian, or because there's so many so-called Christians who are so wishy-washy on their biblical truths?
30 seconds, Dr. Meyer. Thank you very much, Cheryl.
I'd say all of the above, Cheryl. I think you have two very important points, and I just wish that Christians were better grounded in their faith so they could realize immediately the poison on the printed page.
You know, I wonder, Dr. Meyer, whether or not it will be of some benefit, the reaction to the Da Vinci Code, that Christians would actually, those who had little to no interest in history whatsoever, especially Christian history, might feel this occasion to become acquainted with it for the first time, about 10 seconds?
I would really hope so. I think that would be a wonderful development.
Dr. Paul Meyer is professor of ancient history at Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo. He has co-authored the book, The Da Vinci Code, Fact or Fiction. We're talking about the Da Vinci Code film tonight on Issues Etc. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, or our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, when you are reading in the papers this week, you're going to read bad news. It is part and parcel of the newspapers or the nightly news that there's going to be something bad happening, usually natural or man-made tragedies with human victims. When you read that, I want you to keep one relief organization in mind this week. It's LCMS World Relief. Unlike many relief agencies, LCMS World Relief is concerned with both body and soul, and 95% of your donation goes directly to support those human victims. Now, you can find out more about their work around the world at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can donate to LCMS World Relief by calling them toll-free, 1-888-930-4438, 1-888-930-4438, Christ-centered, cross-focused, LCMS World Relief.
We give thanks for the folks at LCMS World Relief because they are the hands and the feet that allow many people to reach out in charity and love to those who are less fortunate than we.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Arthur Just on the importance of LCMS World Relief.
In the Gospels, Jesus says that he came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And spending out his life for us on the cross is how he served us. Because Christ is in us, and we embody him in his mercy and love, we are to manifest that in our lives. And LCMS World Relief does exactly that by reaching out with concrete expressions of Christ's love, mercy, and compassion to those who have been broken by storm and tempest, who, for whatever reason, need the kind of love and compassion that is in us because Christ is in us.
For more information or to donate to LCMS World Relief, call them toll-free 1-888-930-4438.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do Paul and James disagree on justification by faith? What did James mean when he wrote, "Faith without works is dead"? And if a person lacks works, what's James' solution? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. I've written an article for the Next Issues Etc. Journal on the subject of James and faith. We'll send you a free complimentary copy. Just call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. Issues Etc. regular guest Uwe Simonetto has also written an article on the subject of racial segregation in the church, 1-800-737-0172. And the Wittenberg Trail feature details Pastor Robert Schreckheiss's journey from the subjective experience of Pentecostalism to the objective truth of the Reformation, 1-800-737-0172. Now, if you enjoy Issues Etc., the radio show, you need to get the Issues Etc. journal, 1-800-737-0172.
I guess the point that they always want to make to me is that my book suggests a history that they do not believe. And the point that I make back to them is when you write a novel whose premise is that history is inaccurate, of course there's going to be history in it that doesn't jibe with what they believe. That's the point of the novel. And I do try to remind them that it is a novel, and I guess that's sort of the point.
Dan Brown, again, sometimes he likes to talk about it all being factual, and then when it suits him, you know, come on, folks, it's just a novel.
Exactly.
Yes, we're talking with Dr. Paul Meyer tonight about the Da Vinci Code, and happy to take your phone calls in the last few minutes of this hour with Dr. Paul Meyer. If you appreciate our efforts here on Issues, Etc., to defend the faith and teach the truth, even with pop culture phenomena like the Da Vinci Code, please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues, Etc. this week. Especially, we want to hear from our listeners in San Francisco. We're going to be sitting down to make a decision late in June as to whether or not to continue to purchase airtime on KFAX out there in the Bay Area. There are three ways to donate. One, online. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. And our address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. You can also donate by credit card. Our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Or prayerfully consider joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. You'll find more about our monthly donor program right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Let's talk with Matt in Palm Bay, Florida. Matt, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Good evening, Pastor Todd. I wonder if we could get someone to address this Trump card that people throw up, that when they say it's only fiction. Explain exactly why this claim is that it's only fiction is really invalid way to deal with it.
Good question.
Well, Matt, I'm so glad you brought that up, because whenever I inveigh against the Da Vinci Code, that's the question I get all the time, or the response I get all the time. Chill out. It's fiction, isn't it? And so I understand that attitude. The only trouble is, according to Dan Brown, speaking out of one side of his mouth, it's not fiction. The very first page says that all descriptions of art, architecture, documents, secret rituals are factual. And then he lists two organizations, the Opus Dei and the Priory of Sion. Opus Dei is real, but Priory of Sion is a total fake. Total fake. And so this is one of the main streams in the novel, and it's built on a lie. And he claims this is an alternate history. He shouldn't use the term history. He has no entree to even use the term history, because he mangles history. And so to say this is alternate history, this is his version of it, is just no good. And the other problem is this. When he used to appear on television years ago, in terms of getting the book off the ground, 3 years ago, when on Good Morning America, the host asked him, well, do you really believe all this stuff? It's really off the wall. And Dan Brown said, soberly, looking into the TV camera, if I had to write it over again as history, I wouldn't change a word. A horrible statement. I mean, if I were in the studio, unless God prevented me, I'd have gone for his throat. He's lying in his teeth that way. It's just a terrible thing to do. And the other, a third point is this. Novels have fictional foreground characters, but they're set in a realistic background setting. The setting usually is very accurate. This is the way the author communicates reality to the reader. Now, what Dan Brown has done, he's fictionalized the foreground. Help yourself, Dan, not a problem. But he's also lied about the background. And people who are used to truth in the background will be caught unawares. And the best parallel I can give is this. If Dan Brown were using the same tools that he misuses in The Da Vinci Code for a novel about World War II, foreground characters fictional, sure, help yourself. But in terms of the background, he would have no trouble telling the reader that Hitler won the war and put Roosevelt on trial in Washington, D.C. Get it? And somebody who doesn't know history, a younger person wasn't alive in World War II, will start believing that. So I really am afraid of what's going to happen to the truth when you have reputable publishers like Doubleday is supposed to be knowingly passing on a book of lies like this. Really concerns me.
Here's Bill from Appleton, Wisconsin, listening on WEMI. Bill, our time is short. Thanks for calling.
Good evening. I'll try and make it short then. I would respectfully disagree with your last comment. I believe that is the purpose of a novel, is to create any alternate ending that the author desires. To simply say that J.R.R. Tolkien, you know, wrote novels about hobbits and that we should expect the foreground characters to be truthful and the history to not be truthful seems as ridiculous on its face as does the history that's purported by the Da Vinci Code. So I think
when you involve Tolkien and English fantasy novels, it's super obvious to the reader where you are. But what Dan Brown does, he involves historical personalities, historical situations, and then he lies about them. It's possible, I'll give you this, it's possible to do what's called alternate history. I hate the term because it implies that the history is there and it's not history at all. For instance, Philip Roth wrote a book called The Plot Against America a couple years ago, and he tells the reader right at the start, we're going to have fun with the facts here. Enjoy. He's not trying to communicate any authentic information. So he provides alternate history whereby in the election of 1940, Franklin Roosevelt doesn't win the election. Charles Lindbergh does. And so we might have had a Holocaust on this side of the Atlantic, too. See, Dan Brown doesn't do that. If you were only honest with the reader, if you would only change that first page, once the news was in that the Priory of Sion is a total hoax, not a developed in Jerusalem in the year 1099, but in the city of Paris in 1956 A.D., and yet that lie continues in all the paperback versions, doesn't he have any ethics? Doesn't Doubleday have any ethics? It just absolutely grates me that this kind of thing can happen.
Dr. Meyer, two final questions, less than a minute to respond to each. Someone goes to work on Monday. A coworker says, I just saw that Da Vinci Code movie this weekend. Can you believe that the church really tried to suppress all of this information? How should that person respond?
Let the viewer beware that there are lies in the movie as there are lies in the book. And by the way, I use the term advisedly. You know, at first I used to pussyfoot around what's going on here. Oh, literary license, and I was easy on Dan Brown. But the more I look into this, I just can't stand dishonesty. And, you know, when the news came out that the Priory of Sion is a total fake, how in the world can Doubleday and Dan Brown continue publishing paperback editions where they keep repeating the lie from the hardcover edition? This is deplorable.
Then finally, how does the historic reliability of the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as we have it in the New Testament, compared to the historical reliability of the Da Vinci Code, 20 seconds or a little bit more?
Well, we have so many more surviving manuscripts in the life of Jesus, far more than anyone else in the ancient world, for goodness sake. There are now 5,700 Greek manuscripts in whole or in part, through which textual critics can get to a more and more super accurate version of the original documents in the New Testament. They only vary by 1% anyway, and it's really insignificant. But contrary to what Dan Brown says, the Bible is getting better and better and not worse and worse.
1-800-737-0172 is the phone number for our resource line. You can use that number to request a free complimentary copy of our Next Issues Etc. journal. Or you can also use that number to join our monthly donor program called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. 1-800-737-0172 or write us at Issues Etc. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Dr. Paul Meyer is professor of ancient history at Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo and author of the book, co-author of the book, The Da Vinci Code: Fact or Fiction. Dr. Meyer, it's been a pleasure and thanks for your time.
Delightful being with you again, Todd. Blessings.
You too. Well, someone picks it up at long last and they say, okay, what's all the fuss about? And they take it into hand. Beware, reader, beware, viewer, if you're going to see the film. Dan Brown says at the very beginning of his novel that he's telling you the truth, and he isn't. Now, there have been people who say you really have to put a disclaimer at the beginning of that film to say that it's not true. But, see, Dan Brown stands by what he wrote, and that's the real problem. If he said, this is fiction, and I just like playing with these ideas, and it is very entertaining, you know what? It would be. And I don't think Christians would have any concern about it. I don't think historians would have any concern about it. He just said, let's play with a few ideas and see where the story takes us. And when you're done, you close the book and you say, boy, I'm glad that didn't happen. But that's not what he claims. He says it really did happen. And that's the problem. It's a real question of truth. But don't worry about Christianity. I think Dr. Meyer's right there in his answer to our first question. Be concerned about it as someone who's deeply concerned, and all of us should be, about the real truth of history, because our faith hangs on history. It hangs on what really did happen, and it did happen. Christianity has nothing to fear from Dan Brown's novel because the truth is on our side, the truth of a real Jesus who really did live a perfect life as God and man for you and for me, for sinners, and lived and suffered and died and rose again, just as the good book says. And that's the truth. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, Craig Parton, Dr. Gary Habermas, and I invite you to attend the 10th Annual European Summer Study of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. The Academy will be held July the 11th through the 22nd next summer in Strasbourg, France. For more information, check out the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org, or call our resource line number 1-800-737-0172, and we'll send you a free brochure, 1-800-737-0172. Improve your abilities to defend the faith and teach the truth by attending the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, July the 11th through the 22nd in Strasbourg, France. For more information, call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172 or issuesetc.org. We hope to see you there.